This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Good morning. When you send a security expert to an American seaport, almost anything he sees can look like a target.
I can look around and see a tank farm, which is right next to a container, a massive container yard, but there's absolutely nothing patrolling the waters right now.
That expert's name is Stephen Flynn. He's a former Coast Guard commander, now with the Council on Foreign Relations. And he's the author of a book with a title that is not so subtle. It's called The Edge of Disaster. He argues that we're not prepared for the next big catastrophe, whether it's like 9/11 or like Hurricane Katrina. Over the next three mornings, he will explain what he's talking about.
Yes, well, I'm in actually in the port of Los Angeles, which, along with Long Beach, is the largest port complex in the country and the third largest in the world. Each year, this port brings in over 43% of all the containers that come into our country. Containers are, of course, those 40-foot by 8-foot by 8-foot boxes that people see on the back of tractor trailers or on trains. But also, this is a port that brings in 50% of all the oil and energy that California consumes. And this is a place where, if it were disrupted, whether it's an act of God, which would be potentially an earthquake, or whether it's a terrorist attack, one response would likely be to shut everything down to sort it out. And probably not just here, but the ports around the rest of our country would get squeamish as well, and they would close down. And that's where the real disaster would start to happen, because what we'd see is a ripple effect throughout our economy. For instance, there are only about 5 to 7 days of refined fuels in the entire West Coast economy. That is the gas that's in people's gas tanks or in the filling stations. So if you disrupt the harbor and the oil tankers don't come in, you literally run out of gas.
So if we talk about an attack that wrecks the port or forces people to shut it down while they figure out what's going on, many people will remember that after the September 11 attacks, airports across the country were shut down for a period, which was terribly disruptive, but people survived. Are you saying that shutting down a major seaport like the one you're standing in would be even worse?
It would be far worse, in part because it would be a far more complex problem to try to get it restarted again. You know, in the case of 9/11, when we grounded all aviation, basically the federal government, working with states and locals, threw everything they had at it to check every single airplane to make sure there weren't any more terrorists or means of terrorists on board them, and then they could give an all clear, and it took about 3 days. It would take you potentially months to clear the cargo that's coming into a place like L.A. Long Beach or up and down our coast. And you'd have to restart quicker than that, obviously, because of the disruption.
When we've spoken with Department of Homeland Security people from the federal government in recent years, they've pointed out, well, look, we've added to security where we can. We're testing new different kinds of inspections of containers, and we even have people in foreign ports thousands of miles away who may inspect a container ship before it even starts for the United States. Why does that not give you more confidence?
Many of the things that we have been doing in the United States to advance security of our ports, like having inspectors overseas and trying to manage the risk of what comes into U.S. ports, are important progress on where we were before, which basically was almost Wild West. Things were just wide open. But they're essentially like the beta version of a software that we need to develop, that we should be at version 3.0.
What would you do, some things anyway, to make that port a little more resilient?
Well, one of the things that we certainly need more of are exercises that would test, okay, if we have various scenarios, how would we respond? How would we clean up the mess in a hurry? But here's one that's just particularly vexing. If you had, for instance, a terrorist attack on an oil tanker, the kind of thing that happened to a French vessel called the Lindbergh off the coast of Yemen just after 9/11. If that were to happen here, one of the things you would need to do is the basic job of salvage, to pick the ship up and get it out of the way to get the harbor open. There are no salvage ships on the West Coast. The West Coast basically hasn't had much demand like you have in the Gulf area where hurricanes come through. And so one thing, basic thing, was I'd have salvage ships out here, and I'd have plans prepared to open the channel quickly if that should happen. And here, this is the case I'm making overall, is a need to think less about security and more about resiliency. Resiliency being the ability to bounce back quickly. You know, we're focused almost myopically on preventing every act of terror, which is a bit of it's frankly an impossibility. But what we can do and what we can control is how we respond when terrorist incidents happen or when accidents happen. And since the more probable thing that will happen are natural disasters, earthquake or hurricane or flooding, that's the high probability stuff. And if we prepare for those things that are more likely, then it means that when terrorists try to strike, we can bounce back much more quickly, and it makes terrorism itself much less attractive for our adversaries.
Stephen Flynn is the author of The Edge of Disaster. You can find an excerpt at NPR.org. And Mr. Flynn is our guest this week. Tomorrow he will explain one of the natural disasters for which he says we are not prepared.